This week's InterVarsity podcast is a conversation with Princess Kasune Zulu. Princess Zulu was a speaker at Urbana 06 and works as an AIDS advocate and educator through World Vision. In that role, she continues to have contact with many InterVarsity groups, especially in conjunction with World AIDS Day activities.
In terms of college students and your interaction with college students, what's the significance of World AIDS Day?
There has been a lot of awareness on HIV and AIDS, in particular in connection of InterVarsity as well as different colleges through the Acting on AIDS. You know, as you know, that Acting on AIDS is a movement that was started by college students to create awareness and promote activism on the global pandemic of HIV and AIDS across the U.S., but also not just AIDS alone, to make them realize, and many of them have really come to embrace this fact that HIV and AIDS is not a standalone issue. HIV and AIDS is so connected to so many issues. So for example, then they begin to see the clear line of injustice and HIV and AIDS. They begin to realize how poverty is the mother, so to speak, of the HIV and AIDS epidemic. Wherever the poverty high is, HIV and AIDS happens to be there as well. Lack of education for not only girls, but even for boys as well. You know, wherever gender inequality exists, then you see the numbers of HIV and AIDS being more. So I think even as we look at the upcoming World AIDS Day, I am excited, you know, as someone who has been working on this front, fighting as an activist, as an advocate, but even as someone who have worked with World Vision, to see that we are getting closer to having people where they say, this is not just an African problem. It is our problem, and how can we make a difference? And I think InterVarsity, even something that was even more visible was at the Urbana conference, just the embracement of the message which I brought on HIV and AIDS, as well as other speakers who spoke about it, but also even to have it given a priority, you know, because sometimes in conferences it was like a side issue, so to speak. And it has continued to be a side issue in many of the conferences. But again, we are seeing a shift. Many Christian conferences and many other conferences are making HIV and AIDS an important issue, an issue that is spoken about in the main arena.
So you see a connection between Urbana and World AIDS Day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I cannot undermine what happened at Urbana. There have been so many invitations for me as a speaker to speak in many of these InterVarsity universities, and even for many other speakers from organizations like World Vision. And we have seen also an increase on Acting on AIDS chapters in these colleges in connection with the InterVarsity. I just came from Cal Poly University, you know, in St. Louis Obispo. And there was a number of students who turned out to the event, and that was by InterVarsity. Mm-hmm. Not only were they broken about the message of Jesus Christ, but they were so broken that they wanted to do more. Seeing young people saying, we are going to sponsor children, seeing young people give their life to Christ after they heard the message which was brought by one of the pastors from InterVarsity. I mean, it was just that moment where you say, well, God, thank you. We are beginning to see the fruits of the awareness of HIV and AIDS.
So you have had a number of invitations to speak at InterVarsity events since Urbana.
Yep, so many.
Well, that's wonderful.
You know, just in October alone, I was also at Redmond, you know, Redmond University. And there again, students were exposed to the AIDS tent, you know, which again has been an initiative of World Vision to give all college students an experience what life can be for many of the orphans in Africa. And many of them were changed. For example, at Redmond, over 450,000 children went through, 450 students went through. And not only were they changed in the terms of the global issues or HIV per se, but it is becoming a way that people are connecting even to Christ. So I think to me that makes me happy. Yes, it is a pandemic, and I cannot say these words by Kay Warren so well, that it also offers us an opportunity as believers to make a difference in a world of AIDS, and also to give hope where there seems to be no hope, because we can say that confidently with the hope we have in Christ Jesus. You know, hearing about AIDS can be one thing, but when you are given an opportunity to hear stories of people like Joseph, you know, who is 16 years old and he lives in Uganda, and not long ago he lost his father, and his mother became ill as well, and she also died. Joseph, at the age of 16, was left to care for his four brothers and sisters. Now, here's a 16-year-old boy who has no means of survival for himself, first of all. And then now he has to care for his other brothers and sisters. So he has to drop out of school. Again, I'm just using Joseph's story to tell you the story that many young people go through when HIV and AIDS enters their family. And fortunate enough, you know, there was a brother who was coming to see them back and forth from their dad's side. But little did they know that he had other motives, you know. First of all, he blamed the mother that you brought the pandemic on my brother. The discussion around stigma, discrimination, and denial on HIV and AIDS really has to continue, but also prayers, because HIV likes to hide itself where there is denial, where there is stigma, where there is discrimination. It's like silence, because then it continues to spread. So in the end, Joseph and his siblings were kicked out of the house, and they had to go to their mother's friend, who he used to help before even the parents died, to help in the field to cultivate into the food, and now she's helping her. But yet this boy lives with the fear that one day they may be chased out of that house. Not because maybe the mother's friend wants to, but her herself already has a lot of children of her own, but also she has other orphans that she takes care of already. So the fears of being chased are real for children like Joseph himself. And then what happens? This is where then they end up on the streets if nothing is done to help them. Girls who end up getting married at a young age, many cases marrying men who are much older than them, and risking or even increasing the chances to even become infected, and the HIV and AIDS cycle continues. And if not, they end up into prostitution again, which is even worse, because then that just increases the vulnerability. But I think the stories of people like Joseph echoes millions of stories of those children who have been orphaned. I don't know if James did give you the statistics. It is known that every year about 6,000 and more children are orphaned due to HIV and AIDS. You know, either they lose one parent or both parents. And now as we speak, who knows what the statistics will be after World AIDS Day, because then the UN releases its new statistics. Right now, we are talking of 15 million children have been orphaned with HIV and AIDS around the world, and 12 million of those are actually in Africa, in particular in sub-Saharan Africa. So again, we cannot lose hope, because these children need someone to pray for them. These children need someone to come alongside them. And I think when I see young people Adobana being broken by the things that breaks the heart of God, being saying, where can I make a difference? You know, how can I be the hands and the feet of Christ Jesus himself? You feel encouraged. Now, I don't know whether you heard my story at Adobana, although I didn't share much because I only had little time.
Yeah, I think I heard it.
Yeah. Again, my story is that of a young girl was left off under the age of 17. And, you know, sometimes when you say 17 in a Western world, it can sound old. Oh, she's capable of taking care of herself. Well, really, not really, because I look at 17-year-old people here, they don't know what to do. Now, imagine where you're even left with no money at all, and you have to take care of your siblings. I had to take care of 8 of my other siblings. Now, that doesn't even include my grandparents who were depending on my mom. So when my mom died, I ended up being the one to care for them. So again, here I was with this situation. My father, who was also dying, you know, we were left almost with nothing because my mom, before she died, she was the breadwinner. She was still working, but she was working. Her pay was little. And even now, much of the money was used to help her stay alive. And so by the time she died, we were left with nothing. I remember times when we had to eat this porridge. You know, it's locally called HEPS. It's something that international countries give as aid. I think the U.S. give it as aid to Africa. Now, one of the things that some of these students are doing, you know, I was just full of tears when I saw this in motion because it took place also at one of our prayer day of prayer at World Vision, which is on the 1st of October. It's our day of prayer. And it just brought a lot of memories for me, and I couldn't just help it but to cry, you know, because this is now the porridge that many of the students are partaking in, and I think it did take place, it did take place at Urbana, where students were given this HEPS, which is the soya porridge, to kind of experience the life that many of people living with HIV and AIDS do have to eat. That's all. Many of the orphans, if they even have an organization like World Vision giving them that porridge, that is all they'll have, you know, and many of them did have to experience that just for hours. Now, imagine how many of them felt hungry even just for those hours. But that is a reality for many children in Africa. So, again, the Acting on AIDS, in conjunction with World Vision, they have introduced something that is called the broken bread, you know. Mm-hmm. It's something that has taken place at different intervarsity meetings in colleges. I think over 130 student ministries, including intervarsity chapters, have actually mobilized their colleges to participate in this on World AIDS Day. And their theme is 6,000 Reasons to Act on HIV and AIDS, and the reason being that 6,000 children lose parents due to HIV and AIDS. Also, creating awareness, it's visual, so they can almost feel the empty stomach and try to imagine that being your life every day, you know. But also, many of them are now saying, you know what, we just don't want to think about the students. We want to wear, I don't know if you saw this before, where it is very visual, where they would wear orange T-shirts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's written often.
Yes.
So now they are saying if 16,000 children are dying every day, every year, are being orphaned, sorry, then we want to wear that on World AIDS Day and see how much orange will be there. And you know, we live in a generation where visual is just so powerful, and many of them are beginning to grasp the reality of orphans out there in the world. Now, I would even hope that some campuses which are big could even try to wear 15 million or 1,000, I don't know, I guess no campus is that big. But can you imagine even just 6,000 T-shirts of students walking around in orange, how that will look like? But it's also encouraging them to say, you know what, some of them are saying, we are going to raise 6,000 just to come alongside an orphan that has been left behind.
How much of your time do you spend working directly with college students?
It depends, and that has really increased. Like last year alone, I think I went to over maybe 20 universities.
Uh-huh.
And Acting on AIDS as a whole, I think we did about 40 universities.
40?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not just me, it is other speakers like Steve Haas and the Acting on AIDS people themselves, like James Pedry, Christy Docks, you know, they have just been working tirelessly. And what is nice about this is to see young people, they themselves, moving this movement. You know how again, you talk of young people, many times they're given a response or a way to respond where someone else is doing it for them, or where they just thought, oh, be part of this. But this is one of those things where you see young people themselves, they are the ones saying, we want to be part of this, we want to do this, and it looks different at every campus, but yet the motive, the motivation is the same, and the energy, you feel it, it is almost the same. And when I speak in colleges, I tell them, look, until young people can get annoyed about this situation, get upset where you say, you know what, enough is enough. If we are the young people who are being affected, we are going to do something about it. We are going to see an increase in awareness, your representatives being responsible or in terms of what they stand for and making sure that they imply to those things. On World AIDS Day itself, a lot of intervestities as well as Saddleback Church will be hosting the Broken Bread again on their global summit, which will take place again on World AIDS Day. And again, this has just been tremendous work, and just to see how God is doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me back up to Urbana and your experience there. Were you expecting Urbana to be like it was, or was it different than you expected?
Well, first of all, it was my first time at Urbana Conference, but from what I was told from people from work, that this was one of the important conferences that took place in the U.S., especially for Christians and even non-Christians, but also just a serious conference to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? So I had never been myself. However, I also had a privilege to be one of the pastoral staff at a church called River City Church in Chicago. And my area was Global Ministries. And one of the members, she works with InterVarsity, her and her husband, Jennifer Ikoma.
Oh, yeah.
And Michael Ikoma, you know, yeah. And so they were the members at the church where I was a pastor there, at River City Community Church. And so it was just exciting to see that I was going to be part of what they have always spoken highly of. So coming at Urbana itself, I was just too excited that, first of all, the response from the students to the message I brought was overwhelming. And many times as people living with HIV and AIDS, even those of us who speak, you know, you feel like, well, yeah, she did speak, so what? But that was this energy, this appreciation, this thread of saying, thank you. We care about you. We want to stand alongside with you, not just with you, but with your people, with the continent of Africa, with wherever HIV and AIDS is taking place, not just globally, but even within the U.S. That's another thing I've heard in a lot of these intervarsity meetings, even at Urbana, was that young people are saying, you know, who is it that we can minister to, even locally? Because not everyone will have a chance to go to Africa. And that was just exciting for me. It was overwhelming. Many of them came, do you have a book, you know, coming up? I told them, look, I'm writing my book, hopefully to be out next year. So you could see that this was a tremendous, tremendous experience for them. And I hope that conferences like Urbana won't just do a one-time thing and stop, you know, because AIDS is still going on. Whether we like it or not, the reality is AIDS, there's no cure yet, there's no vaccine yet. And even more importantly, the effects of HIV and AIDS on orphans, on communities, on the development of countries, of is still to be felt. And I think HIV and AIDS cannot be a one-time thing. You have to commit to say, we are going to be praying, we are going to be interceding until we see God answer us. And I think, to me, that is the impression I get about Urbana. So I'm excited to hear what Urbana will be all about 3 years from now. Is it 3 years now?
It'll be in 2009.
I'll be excited to see what they're going to do. Are they going to forget about HIV? I tell people, HIV and AIDS is not a sprint. It is a marathon. you have to be in to run until the end. And that is what Christ calls us. You know, it is not a sprint. Helping people to come to know the Lord is not a sprint. Some people will know the Lord today, but backslide down the line. Or some people will be so hard, but if you keep on ministering to them, keep on showing them who Christ is, they may be the best ambassadors for Christ you ever thought, you know? So I think that is something that HIV and AIDS has in similarity to the gospel, is that it forces us not to do a, you know, like a punch, like, you know, like one-time boost, boom, and then you go. No, it's not like that, because it is an ongoing issue, and we need to continue praying, asking God for new interventions, asking God for new wisdom, for new insight, and even new ways of looking at HIV and AIDS. Because HIV and AIDS faces are continuing to change. You know, before, many people thought, oh yeah, we can't care about it because it's a gay disease. Hello, that is not true. Because in many countries, it is a heterosexual transmitted disease. Many times women who have been infected did nothing out of their own. Many of them got infected in an institution called marriage, where they said, well, I'm married, there's nothing I should fear for. And yet, because maybe their husbands were unfaithful, or he went working somewhere else due to the absence of being at home, then he had a one time and then brought all this virus to the house. The other people who are getting infected are children. You know, mother to child transmission is so high. And guess what? Those children are not dying at a young age anymore. They are leaving to become teenagers. So it poses another situation. Now, people in other countries are beginning to access treatment as well, meaning they're living longer to take care of their children, but then it poses other issues as well. So our strategies need to continue changing. We need to continue learning. We need to continue praying. And we have to be willing to continue doing that. And it's not an easy walk.
No.
It isn't. It isn't. And, I mean, it'll get tiring at some point. I myself, you know, I learned my HIV status in 1997. I remember just having this clear vision, almost so vivid, like God was saying, you know what? You need to speak to the churches. But guess what? When I approached the church, there were the people who said, you know what, we can't allow you to speak public about HIV and AIDS because it doesn't concern us. And I remember crying and said, look, you, the church, are part of this issue and you are part of the solution. You have authority that no other entity has, you know. And here we are today. I was excommunicated from church, but today I was called back. And if I was to attend to every invite from a church, maybe I wouldn't even be at home in a day. You see what I'm saying? But see how the change has happened. I don't know if you have heard of the AWAKE project that was done in 2001, I think, where evangelical Christians were asked, how many of you would sponsor a child if a child has been orphaned? I think about 60 or 50% said they will.
Uh-huh.
Then the same question was asked. How many would sponsor a child if a child was affected due to HIV and AIDS and now it has been orphaned? I think about 5 to 7% said they will.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
You know, you can fill in the blanks what that means.
Right.
So we have come a long way. We are seeing changes and there is more yet to be done, but we cannot run a sprint.
Right.
It is a marathon. We have to thank God for the breakthroughs, but also we have to continue praying that more could be done by the representatives of this country, by the leaders of Africa, by the leaders of the churches here in the U.S. and in Africa, by the students and young people, where HIV and AIDS is not something they feel is far away, but it's something they have to realize that it concerns them, you know. And not just to be aware of it, but to realize that they are prone to be infected as well. Every year, about 36,000 new infections happen in the U.S. alone.
Hmm.
Now, 36,000 in the U.S. alone, that is a big number. multiply that by every 10 years, for example, or 100 new incidences of HIV and AIDS, meaning, happen every day. That is just the U.S. And it's not one of the highest prevalence countries. The infection of HIV and AIDS in the U.S. is nearly to 2 million. So, again, I always tell young people, the fact that you are HIV negative, you have the potential to become HIV positive. And I think the church needs to say that message loud and clear, because our young people in churches are not immune if they are going to find themselves in certain behaviors. They are bound to get infected before they get married. They need to be aware of these messages so that they don't just go into marriages without being aware that they can be bound or prone to becoming infected themselves.
You said you were orphaned at 17. How old are you now?
I'm 31.
31.
And I learned my HIV status when I was 21.
Okay.
So this is exactly 10 years. This World AIDS Day will be almost 10 years because I learned my HIV status in December,
right.
1997.
Wow.
Yeah. And God has been faithful, no opportunistic infection, and just this amazing platform he has given me with, it started with this, no, you can't speak here, but from there I went on radio to present a radio program in Zambia that ended up winning an award by the American Embassy on excellence in broadcasting. Then I was invited, I don't know if you know this, at the White House to speak over the $15 billion bill that was given as an HIV and AIDS initiative to Africa.
Uh-huh.
I was invited to the UK to meet with Tony Blair, although at that time he was so busy with Iraq that I ended up meeting with his second in person.
Mm.
And now I have this opportunity with young people in colleges. It's amazing to me. I tell them I like all the platform that God has given me. I am humbled. I am, what can I say? I count it a great honor, a great privilege, but there's nothing like speaking to you, the young people, because
yeah.
you are not just the leaders for tomorrow. You are the leaders for today. And who you become today, what you prioritize today, what you create as the center of your worship affects the decisions that you make when you become mothers, when you become teachers, when you become directors, when you become presidents, or whatever it is. And if you can understand who Christ is, if you can understand the plight of orphans right now and the injustices around the world and become the voices, we'll have a better world to live in. And that is what every leader is crying for and every mother's cry, that one day her children will not be left alone without no one to care for them.
Yeah. That's a wonderful message.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much, Princess.
Thank you.
Thank you, Princess. God bless you.
Thank you to all of you. It has just been amazing what God is doing with the InterVarsity and all this due to Urbana, and we thank God.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.